Sunday. I'm just glad to be back here.
Amen.
I tell you what, I missed all of you. I missed from seeing you. But I'm gonna go on and preach a few minutes. I promise I'm not gonna keep it as you long tonight. I know that.
I don't think nobody believes that.
Come on, man. Why? Why not? Well, you know, Okay. Is that what y'all want? So y'all don't care if I go on to bite maybe 10, 11, 12 o'clock tonight?
Call Christy.
Huh?
Call Christy.
All right.
You gonna be here to wake me up in the morning?
Oh, me. Well, I tell you, it's good to know the Lord. It really is. And I got something I want to share with y'all after I get through preaching. Turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And the Apostle Peter's date that this was written was back in after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was in AD 66. But we see here that where we're going to be in verses I'm going to start with verse 1, but where 2 Peter and 2 Timothy, they have so much in common in what the scripture is saying and what they are doing. And you know, we could go back and we could remember Peter. And you know, Peter, you know, he denied the Lord there at one time. And some people say, well, this is not the same man. Well, I believe it is. But I ain't arguing with nobody about it. But I do believe that here we could see some things in the scripture that I'm going to read that will kind of back me up, but you know, I still ain't arguing with nobody about it. But it's speaking of the great Christian virtue. It's what chapter 1 is. And just let us pray, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so good to us. Father, thank you for being there, Father, for each one of us as we go about in doing, Father, what you'd asked us to do. Lord Jesus, we pray, God, that you will just touch each one of our hearts. Give us the desire to serve you more in 2016 than what we done in 2015, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, for the souls that's lost, Father, that they will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, we thank you for the ones that did come out tonight. I know we may be down in number tonight, but your word says where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst. And Father, I have felt thy presence today, Father. I felt it this afternoon when we come down here this afternoon, me and my wife. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll just help us tonight, Father. Help us that we may get something from these words that we ponder upon tonight. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here in verse 1 it says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness. And let me go back. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, all to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall neither fall. For so as entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be neglected to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them that be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endure endurance, that ye may be able, after my decrease to have these things always in remembrance. Right here, we see some things here that I think that makes up a true Christian.
She came home.
Well, that's all right. But what this chapter really speaking about is speaking about being a fruitful Christian. To be a fruitful Christian. And we have some things in here. And verse 5 is the first one that we need to recognize in our own life to where we can be that Christian where the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. All of this is what the Lord wants us to be. It's not what I want it to be, but it's what the Lord wants it to be. And with what the Lord wants me to be and what the Lord wants you to be, is it something that we can't even really grasp a hold to. The only one that we can really say hold on to and grasp to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can help us. Come on in the house, Brother Jimmy.
Mama, I want you to open the back door.
It's open.
There you go.
Oh me. Grace and peace be with
you. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Thank your favorite mom. Thank your favorite mom.
Oh yeah.
So you finally came back to church.
Yeah, we've been sick, man.
Not now, are you?
No.
Oh, man.
3 weeks, though.
I just wailed her. She can sit here. But, oh, man. I just... I'm going to just wait until she comes in, so, so I don't worry about that.
Your ears.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, we're over in the book of Peter, Second Peter in chapter 1. And it's speaking about being a fruitful Christian. And you know, people talk about being Christ-like. To be Christ-like, you got to be a fruitful Christian. You got to, everything I'm going to mention tonight, plus more, that we're going to have to expect, I mean, other people needs to expect it from us. Whether we like it or not, we have to go by it. We have to look at it. We have to say, Lord, you're going to have to help me with some things. But, it speaks about his righteousness. You know, if we have any righteousness, where does that righteousness come from? It don't come from any of us. It comes from him. And him only. But that in mind will bring you grace and peace. Because if we depend on him to give us his righteousness, we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior, first and foremost. And then we can understand what grace really means. And it's not one way I can explain it. What grace really means. It means unmerited favor. It's what it means in the Bible and other things. But taking each letter out of the word grace is speaking about God. What God done, God gave his only begotten Son. That he would be able to go to Calvary and to die. And it's God's grace that brought that about. God's redemption. Redemption is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's grace. And whose expense was it at? Whose expense was the redemption to? Whose expense? Who paid the redemption expense? Who paid it? The Lord Jesus Christ. So you got God, redemption at Christ expense is how we receive grace. He done it for us. He done every bit of it for me, and he done it all for you. And I thank him for that. Not only that, I think we need to all bow and just humble ourselves down to him, because he deserves all the praise that we can muster up. He really does. He deserves it all. And the reason I use the word mustard is because we know what the mustard seed in the Word of God is speaking about. It's speaking about that one little grain of seed. One little grain. And it's supposed to be one of the smallest seeds that there is. And that mustard seed. You take it. Well, if you do, we just take this bottle right here. If it was empty of water, just nothing in it, I could take a mustard seed and drop it in there now. And I could ask everybody up here to look at, could you, can you see the mustard seed? You say no. And I couldn't hardly see it either. It's so small. But what do we want to do about it? How do we want to build that up? How do we want to build up our Christianity, our fruitfulness as Christians? How do we do that? We build it up by faith. But what do we want to do? We want to muster up all the faith that we can get, instead of taking and putting one mustard seed in here. Think about this. What if I went down to the seed store and I come back with two packs of mustard seed? And I took them and poured them all in there. I could raise it up. You could see them. Right? But see God don't look at it that way. Only God wants to see is that one little mustard seed. That's all he wants from us. It's that one little seed. And if we'll give him that one little seed that he can take and he can build upon that. But a whole lot of times we don't even want to have that one little seed to give him. That's the reason I think a whole lot of times that we come up short, we fail. But we also see down here, it's talking about the power of God. And we also see about the glory, about his knowledge and his glory, and the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? It speaks about your morals. It speaks about your moral excellence. It speaks about what you want people to look at you for. It speaks about character. What kind of character do you have? Do you have a good character where people can say, well, I know that where they're going to be at Sunday, any way possible, they're going to be in church. Real character. An individual that does not have character. The real, I'm talking about this kind of character that God is speaking about. Then I don't believe you have a good testimony of your own life and your own Christian service for the Lord. We must also remember that having a good character also brings forth wisdom. Wisdom. And then wisdom is knowing how to act. How do we act? Do we act like a Christian around our family? Do we act like somebody that just don't care, won't speak to them or something like that, we should always keep in mind there was one time in our lifespan that we was in the same condition that they are in. They are not in the type of relationship that we are in. Now, I'm not speaking about the human aspect of a relationship. I'm talking about the relationship that we have with the Lord. You take an individual that's not saved, they don't have that kind of a relationship. They don't know what it means, but they don't really know what relationship really means until they've met the Lord, until they come to Him and ask Him. Because I'll be honest with you, it's no way under the sun that I could go about and face each and every day ahead of me without having some type of a relationship with the Lord. And I'm talking about the relationship that I know that I can go to Him, I can talk to Him, I can tell Him all my troubles, I can tell Him all my problems and everything, and I don't have to worry about Him going and telling someone else. He gonna say, son, I've heard you. I've heard your plea. Then let me handle it. Whole lot of times, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Whole lot of times we'll have a problem come up. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer about it. But then if we go to the Lord in prayer about it, then what do? We go and pick it right back up and put it on our back. Oh, man. Oh, my. The Lord is not going to answer it as long as we got it. He's not going to answer it as long as we got it. He wants it all. He wants us to trust in Him, have faith in Him. And that's what we got to do. Temperance, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Temperance means self-control. If somebody says something against us, or can we have the right attitude to where they can look and say, well, shoot, I knew him 30 years ago, and he'd have come up and he'd have busted my head wide open. But see, I come to know the Lord. I come to know the Lord. Temperance, self-control. He is my master. He is the one who's going to take care of me. He is the only one that I can depend on. I know that I can depend on each and every one of you. I can come to you and ask you for anything. I can ask you for prayer and I don't have to worry about it. You're going to pray. But I can depend on Him wholeheartedly. And He's there. He wants to help me. He wants to help you. He wants to help the body of Christ that He's got here at Faith Baptist Church. He wants us to get away from that sincere milk of the word. He wants us to get in there and either get down there and get a hold of some meat. Dig in God's word. We need to dig. Verse 6, we had the patience, which it means steadfastness. It means convey the idea of endurance. Are we strong enough for the long haul? Are we strong enough? What's going to face us tomorrow? And what's going to face us next week? Are we strong enough? No, I'm not strong enough. You're not strong enough. But we can be strong enough if we put it all in God's hand. Because we know that God is strong enough. We know that God built this church. God built this building. I know God used man to go about and putting the framework up and all of that. But God created this building. And it's not going to fall. It's not going to fall. It's not going to be empty. It's not going to be up for sale or nothing like that. Why? Because God built it. I believe that with all my heart. And I read the whole of these churches. They closing his doors. Now, I don't know what all they have to go through. I don't know what they've had to go through and unlike that. But I will say one thing. As long as a church today is a New Testament church, according to God's word, will always stand. You have to do some things that he commands us to do. And he don't command us just to come in here and walk the aisle. And he don't command people to come in and walk the aisle and come to the altar and get saved. And then once they leave that service that day, then they go out here and they don't ever come back. Then you go back to them 6 months later or something like that, and you may ask them, says, well, been missing you at church. Love to see you come back. And says that, you know, I thought you got saved. He said, yeah, I did. I got saved. But I could get just enough preaching at home watching the TV. Yeah, but they could get the... Yeah, they maybe be able to turn on to the favorite preacher and listen to him preach. But one thing that they lack, they lack the communication. They lack the fellowship of each other. And you know, I know some people don't like it, which is fine. But, you know, which to me, it don't make no difference to me, but either way. But you know, I just love it when people just come up and just, you know, pat you on the shoulder, say glad to see you today. Been a couple weeks since I've seen you. See, they can't say that. Somebody sitting at home. And then when you get a call and you've got a a brother, or sister, or mother, or father, or something like that, has just been carried to the hospital. And the news that they get from the doctor's not good. Not good at all. And they tell their parent, they tell their people, their family, you might, we're going to call the rest of the family in. Because they don't have but so many hours to live. Which I know what the doctors are doing. The doctors is giving a time frame of what they have seen in the past. But see, nobody knows the time frame except for God. Nobody's going to leave this earth until God picks your name and He puts your name on the outside of your mansion. And right above it, he's going to say, welcome home, Mr. Mahan, or Donald Mahan. Welcome home. So when he puts it out, we can always remember he's going to welcome us home. He's going to welcome us home. So I want to ask you this tonight. Are you ready for Him to welcome you home? It's godliness down here in verse 6. Patience and godliness. This right here is an old-fashioned word. An old-fashioned word which we know of, and which the people of old knew of, is pity. It's pity. Pity me. Having pity on people. But really what it means is reverence, and is referred to a quality which is very much needed today. We need to be reverent unto the Lord. Now, the word reverence, right, reverence in God's word, to me, it can mean so many other things, but to me it means that we must come in here as Christians to worship Him in spirit and His truth. And then we leave and we go out in the world, and we'll go out in the world. We also are supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth in the world also. But we must go out. That's where our test will be tried. It's not going to be tried here, because I don't know of anybody that can't come in here, that cannot come into a church and act like a Christian. Oh yeah, they know all the hymns and all of that. But where the test comes about, it's not in here. It's not in here. It's outside them doors. That's where the test comes in at. A whole lot of people think where Christian backslides is out here in the world, outside the door, out here in the world. No, it's not there. You know where the backsliding starts for a Christian? right here in his house. In his house. And the reason I believe that is because of this. When we come in here to God's house, then have we left everything outside? Have we left everything that we have heard this past week? Or everything we've heard today that wasn't pure? And it wasn't a Christian life. That joke that we heard, they ended up telling us, they said, well, this is a clean joke. But then when it comes right down to it, when they get to the punchline of the joke, it's not that clean. It's not that good. So that's where the backslide starts at. It's right here in the church. This is when we start thinking about everything else but worshiping the Lord. That's for the Christian. Now I know that when you have sinners come in, and when you have the lost sinners come in, yeah, what they're thinking about the whole time, like I'm going back and I'm relating to myself when I first went to church, and at that time, and probably we've been 10 years since I've been in church, and I got married then in the church. Then I hadn't never been back to church in 10 years. But when I got saved and I'd come back to church, what happened to me on that first Sunday? I mean, that first Sunday that I went to church before I got saved that Monday night. I wasn't thinking about what he was preaching. I wasn't thinking about, wouldn't it be nice if I just give my life to the Lord? Wouldn't it be nice I could have a fruitful life? I could have this and I could have that, and the Lord be right there for me. I wasn't thinking about all of that. I was thinking about, when is the preacher going to shut up so I can go home? That's what I was thinking about. Because I didn't want to be there. And the only reason I was there because of my wife and my friends invited me. Invited us to come. I didn't want to be there. And I was so glad when the missionary said, amen. I was so glad. Then he got to give an invitation. I didn't know what an invitation was. I didn't want to hear about no invitation. I didn't want to hear nothing about nothing no more. I want to get out of there. I want to go home. But we need to remember that we are God's chosen people. I told somebody, I says, you know something? He said, well, how do you feel like it? You say you're one of God's chosen people. I said, well, he chose me out of that group of people that day, and I don't know how many other people he didn't choose out to, that is where he'll add the message, you know, speaking to me, and it continued on with me. Rest of that day and Monday, And then Monday afternoon, Monday night, is when those three individuals from that church come and visited me. See, they come and they visited me. I reckon they felt like if they's going to get anything done with me, I reckon, was it better go and get it done now than to wait a week? And one thing I did, I loved about them. I liked about them all three. And that I have failed on this so much, and I've tried myself every time I think about it to go back. But after I got saved that Monday night, the individual asked me, "Will you come back to church?" Man, and when I got back, I couldn't wait. That was on a Monday. I could not wait until Wednesday night to get there. And I could not wait until Sunday got there. And Sunday night. But one thing I loved about the individual that led me to the Lord, he just did not leave me off by the wayside. So now I said, "I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let you defend for yourself." He didn't say that. You know what he said? He says, "How about going with us on visitation tomorrow night?" I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, visitation." I didn't know what that was. He says, "You come on." He says, "If there's any way possible that if you don't have to work tomorrow night." I said, "No, ain't no problem. I'll make sure I ain't got to work." But that's the way he was. And then he got me doing this in church and everything. He got to, and not only that, some other people in the church, they got me singing up in a choir. And I said, "Me sing in a choir? I can't even carry a tune." And I says, "Here it is up in the choir, y'all trying to learn all of these notes and everything." I said, "I didn't know y'all had bank notes up there. That's all the kind of notes I know anything about. is the bank notes and everything got them little wonders in the envelope." I said, "No." I said, "I can't do that." But it finally ended up got me up there. But the last one is this. In verse 7, the brotherly kindness. What does a brotherly kindness mean? It means charity. It means love. And it's speaking of the Philadelphia church, because the Philadelphia church was the love church. It was the, when that church was going about, people loved one another. And I've heard plenty of people talk about the Philadelphia church, that they lived in the Philadelphia church in the early years of their life, because they love people.
and they loved helping people. But, you know, not only that, the brotherly love that we need to have toward one another. Toward one another. And we need to have that brother love. We really do.
I got it.
But,